This is Reverend Lindsay again, and that was a snippet of John Lennon and the other Beatles singing the word. Thanks for joining me for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for October 25th, 2020, based on our reading from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 46, and entitled, Have You Heard? The word is love. And recently I watched a documentary about John Lennon. On the day that he died, was killed, he had given an interview in which he said that for him, the purpose of life was love. And he mentioned that song, The Word, saying it was maybe the first time he'd given voice to that conviction. Now, I think Jesus would definitely enjoy that song. I can even imagine him bopping along to its 1960s beat. Because that's what Jesus is talking about. This Pharisaical lawyer tries to get Jesus into trouble yet again, and Jesus looks at him, I think, very directly and says, I imagine very simply, what does God want from you? Love. Love God. Love yourself. Love your neighbor. Have you heard? The word is love. In some ways, it's a riff not only on Leviticus, but on Micah's, God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? All you need is love. Da-dum-da-dum-dum. So easy to say or sing, so hard to do. Now, I must have read this Matthew passage, what, probably a zillion times. But reading it in October of 2020, in the year of COVID, in the year of a pretty momentous, right, presidential election, in the year that the Black Lives Matter movement finally seemed to capture the hearts and souls of many Americans, in this year that has been filled with hope, but also with fear and grief and uncertainty and hatred and violence, what struck me was not the idea central to my faith as it is that loving neighbor is as important, in fact, is kind of the same thing as loving God. What jumps out at me now is God giving that instruction, that call to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, on a superficial maybe, but still helpful level, this probably means love, and love is a verb here, remember, not an emotion. Love your neighbor no less than, or at least as much as you love yourself. But this idea of self-love is tricky, of course. I've heard people rail against the new aginess of it all. One guy wrote, you can't really love another until you love yourself. You don't know true forgiveness until you forgive yourself. You can't blah, blah, blah until you blah, blah, blah yourself. I call baloney. No, he didn't say baloney, actually. I know what he means. It seems very self-involved. But I want to suggest that the Bible, that Jesus is getting at a different understanding, a different kind of self-love. A love of self that has nothing to do with egotism or narcissism. It's not being consumed by how fabulous you think you are. Or on the other hand, this isn't about selflessness, the kind that turns people into doormats. Sometimes people seem so kind, so giving, so selfless, but often they have so little self-esteem, self-regard that they need to seek the approval of others and to give and give and give, so desperate for love in return that they do harm to themselves or allow it to be done to them. When we do not know ourselves loved, we may do violence to others or ourselves. And we can't love others to get love in return. Sometimes maybe it works that way, but I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. As the first letter of John says, we love because God first loved us. By the way, he adds, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters or liars, for those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. In the same letter, you may recall, John also says, God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. So I suggest that biblical self-love is not about unconditional love for ourselves, but about understanding, truly accepting God's unconditional love for us. And therefore being able to see others as also unconditionally loved by God. And so being able to treat others as people who are just as beloved as we are. Does that make sense? And maybe I'm wrong, but it does seem to me that so much hatred and violence in the world comes from people who don't feel loved, valued, of worth. And I'm not saying that lets them off the hook, but if you are secure in yourself, if you know that your life has worth and meaning, if you know that you are loved, you don't have to attack others because you fear that they are or may become more worthy, more loved than you. And even those who do their best to love their neighbors face times of doubt and depression and fear that they are not worthy of love, God's love. Each of you is God's beloved child. But sometimes I know it can be hard to believe that because the world is so busy telling us that we are not good enough, not rich enough, powerful enough, smart enough, not nice enough. We don't work hard enough, or we work too hard. We are not good looking enough. But those are things that God never says. Sure, God always wants us to be better, to grow more and more into the gracious image of Christ in which we were so lovingly made. Think of the children in your life, your own or other children you've been blessed to love. You always want them to learn and improve, to be the best people they can be, to live into their full potential. But really, you love them from the get-go, and there is nothing that could make you stop loving them. That's how God loves God's children. And knowing, truly believing in God's love for us, then we are free to love others, knowing that they are God's beloved too, even people who do horrible things. That's how we show our love for God, which is, again, easy to say. So in these next few minutes, I'll ask you to ponder some questions and ideas, which I hope will help you remember to feel in your bones just how loved you are by God, how precious you are to God. So take a few slow, deep breaths. Make yourself comfortable. If it's noisy around you, maybe pause this recording and put on some headphones or go to another space so that you can listen to your heart, which is another way of saying, listen to God's loving spirit. I'll play some music, a piece called Ancient Winds by Kevin MacLeod. And at any point, if you need more time to dwell with your thoughts, just pause the recording again and continue when you're ready. So, my first question is, what brings you joy? Maybe think about not a general idea, but specific times when you have felt true joy. Now think about, when have you been most generous, most moved to generosity, and what prompted that? Again, think of specific instances. At what times have you felt most grateful? Who have you felt grateful to? And how have you expressed that gratitude? Can you think of certain times that you have been most able to give love? When you have felt your heart expand and you have been moved to action, with an embrace, a prayer, a gift, an outreach, some act of love. And when have you been most able to receive love, to know and to accept that you are worthy of love and you are, in fact, greatly loved? Now, as I read part of today's Matthew passage again, think about what it means for you to love God and neighbor and yourself. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." To me that there was no one more loving than Jesus, and there was no one who was more sure of God's love for him. Jesus put these two ancient commandments together, and so calls us to love through a remarkable interconnected loving trinity of God, self, and neighbor. A love that isn't a Hallmark card sentimentality, but action. We are called not to feel love, but to do love, God's love, which isn't soft and mushy, ephemeral and flighty, but as strong and shining as a diamond. Can you feel that strong love deep within you. God's unconditional, unstoppable, unending love for you. And your infinite love for God and for all of God's creation, including, yes, yourself. Thanks be to God. Amen.